In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this first Sunday of the Lenten season, we begin where we left off at Epiphany. And you remember what one of the last mysteries we experienced at the beginning of Epiphany was? It was that of our Lord and his baptism. That is the great theophany of the Lord, the great appearance of our Lord God, where, remember, he was at the River Jordan. John the Baptist was there, his disciples certainly, his own mother. And in the presence of all, God did something there which he did not do at any of the other baptisms which John performed for repentance there at those waters. It says in the scripture, the skies opened up, the Holy Spirit descended upon the Lord Christ in the form of a dove, and the voice of the Father called down, saying, "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased." We'll hear those words again in just a few weeks as we go through this Lenten season. One of the Sundays we take aside, we focus upon the transfiguration of the Lord, where to those words the Father adds something new. He says, "This is my Son. Listen to him." And so listening to the work of God immediately from here, what happens? As we shared earlier with our young seminarian, immediately after that comes our gospel today. That is when our Lord is driven by this Holy Ghost, which has just been confirmed upon him again, though the Spirit was never distant from the second person of the Trinity, all members are present to one another perpetually. The Spirit drives him forth out of the Father's love into the dark and desert places where he fasts and prays for 40 days. Hence the 40 days we are in. And at the culmination of those 40 days, what do we see? We see that our Lord is tempted by the tempter, that the adversary comes and brings perils unto him. Pope Benedict XVI, he talks about it this way. He called the temptations of our Lord Christ within the desert a descent into the perils that beset mankind. Everything that our Lord was tempted with there are the very things which you and I are tempted with in our day-to-day lives. Why did this happen? It happened because so that we may be counted among those, as the scripture says, who receive the abundance of grace coming to reign in life through that one Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul reminds us that it is through the one act, the one righteous act that St. Paul speaks about in the letter to the Romans, that is righteousness above all other acts, is that of our Lord Jesus' unfailing fidelity to the Father's will. As a serpent comes close to Christ, seeking to slither around him, to bite him, to cause him to fall in some sort of way, testing his virtue, is he truly going to remain purposed upon the will of the Father? So too with the same ways in which our Lord was successful against this serpent of Satan, we can prevent ourselves from being duped by the suggestion that somehow God will be jealous at the prospect that we will become like gods. God is not trying to hide anything from you and I. But that's what Satan wants to convince you of. I, the world, the flesh, and the devil, the three enemies of our soul, want to say that God doesn't want us to do that because it will somehow make us equals to him, or it will somehow make us have something which will approach his goodness. But God wants us to become like him. That's what baptism does, as is spoken about in our reading. God wants you to become just like unto him, as godlike as is possible. Though as godlike as a human being can be, comes nowhere near the reality, but so much more than we can even dream of what we're called to. God wants that for us. For it is God himself who planted that hope of something greater than what our human nature is able to hold on to. He's the one who put it within our hearts. And as the scripture says, God does not subject nature to futility, meaning if he puts a desire within your heart and mine, it can be fulfilled. Yea, it will be fulfilled in the most blessed way possible in the plan of Christ, in God's plan, in the glories of heaven, and even that which can be lived out now if we accede to his love and his reign within our lives. It is the Lord's greatest joy and the glory that we share in his image and likeness, not through a self-seeking where we take things to ourselves in some selfish way of egoism, but through obedience, by which, as the scriptures say, many will be made righteous. That is, many will become like unto God. And so how is that lived out? What are the three things that were tempted of the Lord? You recall them. The first temptation He'd spent 40 days fasting. Maybe what was on your mind on Ash Wednesday or on Friday yesterday, it was a meal. You want to slake that hunger that's going on within you. So with our Lord, he had human hunger. And so after this time, the devil came and tempted him and said, "Do you want some bread? I know you can turn those stones into bread." Again, he tempted him in another way. He brought him up to another place and said, "Here you are, the pinnacle of the temple. Jump off. Everybody will know that you're God then, because you won't get hurt." Again, he took him to the high point, even higher than the pinnacle of the temple, but to see all the kingdoms of the world, which the prince of darkness had authority over. He won the authority through Adam, though it was just a temporary authority. He said, "Just lay down now before me, and I can make all those pains go away. Right now, you'll have it all." The evil one seeks to tempt you and I in the very same things. Think of it this way. Suppose the tempter himself comes to make you and I feel the pinch of our poverty because so many things are taken away from us in this world, which I don't have to tell you that so many wish to conspire within this world order to strip everything away from us, to have us be happy, as they say, and own nothing, to be within our little cells and nibble upon the insects and bugs. The evil one wishes to speak through them just as he spoke to Christ, wishes to take advantage of our hunger, and talks to us, telling us stories in which we can turn stones within our lives, difficulties, into bread. But we can't be taken in by him. But we should learn what still we have not been able to grasp. Refute the evil one within your life with the words of life, with the word that is the bread that has been sent down from heaven, the word that gives life unto the world. That is Christ. Answer just as Christ did, with Scripture. We spoke about this earlier this week. This is a review for our young man. You have to be dripping with Scripture if you want to tangle with the devil. If you want to do real spiritual battle, then you have to have real spiritual weapons, which are found in Holy Scripture, the gift of the church. The evil one may try to ensnare us through our vanity, just as he tried to ensnare Christ when he sent him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, "Prove your divinity, throw yourself down." But let's not succumb to the pride that makes us think that we will be something because we might have some power within ourselves, some blessings that we have received. For the tempter will by no means stop at one success. He'll wish to drive us to the next and to the next and to the next success to finally grasp us and have us be lost just as he did, thinking above ourselves. Satan is never satisfied and is always pursuing us. He often beguiles us with something good and useful, but its end is always to lead us to a greater destruction in evil. It is simply his method of waging war. We also know how well-versed the evil one is in the use of Scripture. When Christ answered the temptation to turn stones into bread with a rebuke from Scriptures, he began with those words saying, "Well, you know, it is written." He knows Scripture very well. He was hovering around those when it was written down. The devil countered with the same words, tempting Christ to throw himself down off that temple, the pinnacle thereof. He said, "For it is written, he will give his angels charge over you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot even against a stone." But it is interesting that he stops the scripture quotation there from the Psalms. He does not look at the next verse, because the next verse says something which he would not wish to repeat. The next bit of that quotation, he says that we shall tread upon the adder or the cobra, that we shall dash him under our foot, that we shall be protected by the Holy Trinity and trample the serpent even upon scorpions. In that very same quotation he used, the very next line says that Satan will be trampled under the foot of the Most High, the one who puts their trust in God, the one protected by his name. If the tempter tries to overthrow us through our greed, showing us at one glance all the kingdoms of this world as if they belong to him, and demanding that we fall down and worship him, we should despise him. We know him to be a penniless imposter, because anything that the devil has is false riches, ultimately ended toward corruption, and everything will be taken away from him. Nothing lasts in the hand of the tempter. He's going to lose. We should remain then strong in our baptism, because each one of us can say, "I too am made in the image and likeness of God." But looking at Satan, who's tempting us there before us, we can say to him, "But unlike you, I have not yet become an outcast from heaven through my pride. Because through my baptism, I have put on Christ. By my baptism, I have become one with Christ. Rather tempter, rather Satan, rather devil yourself, rather it is you who should fall prostrate before me, because Christ has done something greater in me than he will ever be able to do in you. By these words, he can only surrender and retire in shame. That's why it says within the letter of St. Peter, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Just to resist him and to remain strong in our baptismal call, and he cannot bear long the presence which we announce, recognizing who our dignity points to, who he who is in us is greater than he who is within the power of the world. Just as he retreated from Christ after this last temptation, who is the light of the world, so will he depart from those who are illuminated by that same light that is glowing and burning within them even weekly in their baptism. Such are the gifts that are conferred upon you and I through the gift of baptism, if we just would understand the power that we've been granted by it. Such a rich banquet lays before those who hunger for those things of the Spirit and seek to live by them. Therefore, strengthened by these mysteries, knowing that in the light of all the temptations which were put before Christ, he answered with nothing but Scripture, so too we can be dripping with that same Scripture and answer the evil one through Christ, recognizing that what God has done in us through that very act of redeeming us by his blood makes us far more powerful than the Satan himself, so much so that the Satan can't bear our presence if we remain within it long, turning to Christ. One final thing. What does it say after the temptation of Christ? After Satan departed from him, it's a little paid attention to passage of Scripture. What it speaks of at the end of this passage is that, and as soon as he departed from him, the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto the Lord. In the same way, when we stand firm in temptation, the angels which God has put in charge of us will minister to us and build us back up as well. We need not fear that standing firm with Christ will leave us totally exhausted and out of sorts. There is an angel which God has granted each of us to strengthen us in the midst of our weakness, so that we need not fear anything that the evil one would throw at us, even if it take all of our strength to resist in the moment, to realize that we have an angel who is with us, desiring to lead us and guide us along the way. And so just as Christ needed the work and the ministrations of angels after his great temptation, after his great fast, so too you and I will rely on those very same angels which the Lord has entrusted to care for us. The Lord does not lead us into temptation, but as we will pray in just a few moments, by his own power living within us, he will deliver us from evil if we stand firm with him and stand upon his word which he plants within our hearts, and the baptism, the sacraments, which conform us to his name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.